This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin, and we're moving on to our next story, which is a look at the UK elections. Folks in the United Kingdom are heading to the polls today in what is a crucial time for the future of the state, especially with the never-ending shadow of Brexit continuing to loom over all of it.
Yeah, so right now there are two frontrunners. The first one is the Conservative Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who wants to quote-unquote get Brexit done. And the second frontrunner is opposition leader, the Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn, who has promised a second referendum and has, in a way, focused on more domestic issues like the National Health Service during his campaign.
The polls show that Johnson has a better chance of winning the election, even though he's faced a lot of questions about trustworthiness and his willingness to participate in public debates and face public scrutiny. Whatever the outcome of this election, it will have an impact on the UK for years or even decades to come.
So this sounds like a very naive thing to say, but I'm hoping that the UK will have at some point some period of political stability.
Yeah.
Because it feels like it has been a long time coming, that there's been a lot of, even when they did have a prime minister for a number of years, it was still an unpopular premiership, marred by a lot of different political losses during her tenure. And overall, I just think that considering their position in the world economy, their position geographically, their position within that space, the EU and Brexit and so on, I would just like to see some certainty in terms of leadership, because
yeah.
I think it determines how, it determines markets, it determines sentiment, it determines so many different things. And while it's too soon to say really what's going to happen, you know, considering the time difference, we're not able to really kind of go in depth on how things are going. I think it would be good to just get a little bit of context as to what would happen on either side of this outcome.
I think there's just an interesting dynamic right now in terms of the choices that, the British people have. It's either Boris Johnson or Jeremy Corbyn. The former is seen as untrustworthy, unreliable in a way. He's very like relatable in a sense, like he's got this image of, like, you know, the everyday guy kind of thing.
If the everyday guy were
the
really,
bumbling,
really
everyday
the bumbling everyday guy, exactly. But on the other hand, you'd think that you want to have a better alternative, but at the same time, Jeremy Corbyn is, in a way, has his own weaknesses as well. He's faced a lot of criticisms in terms of anti-Semitism. His position on Brexit also is not very clear. He's wavered through people's demands. So the choices aren't very strong for both of them. So either way, whatever the British people choose, it won't be like, you know, there will be some hitches moving forward, I guess.
You know what we've learned from this show, though? People are dynamic. People can change. I'm just trying to find a ray of sunlight here. Just because the options right now aren't stellar, who is to say that things won't change? On the line with us is Patrick Diamond, Associate Professor of Public Policy at Queen Mary University of London. Patrick, thanks for joining us this evening. So this election has been dubbed the most important one for the UK in a generation. Could you talk to us about what's at stake here?
Well, when commentators talk about the election being the most important in a generation, they're referring, of course, to Brexit, because the outcome of the election will have a significant impact on Britain's current plans to leave the European Union. If the Conservative government emerges from the election later today, tomorrow, with a majority, then it is very possible that Britain will have left the European Union by the end of January 2020. If, however, the Conservatives are not able to get a majority, then the situation is very unclear. It's possible that they will try to go ahead and still initiate Brexit, but it's also at that stage possible that it would have to be another referendum in order to resolve the issue. So there's no doubt this general election has significant implications for the UK plans to leave the EU within the foreseeable future.
And besides Brexit, are there other big issues to look at in this election?
There are other issues. Aside from Brexit, the big issue in the campaign has been about the state of the UK healthcare system, the National Health Service, which has received significant coverage. There is an impression that the service has been underfunded in the last 10 years as a consequence of government austerity policies. So the state of the NHS, the fact that there are many high-profile cases of patients not necessarily receiving good treatment in the NHS, longer waiting times, longer times to wait to be seen by a doctor, and so on and so on. This is all added to a sense of disquiet about the NHS, which has definitely made healthcare a major issue in this campaign.
Talk to us about the two main front runners. What are the key promises of the campaigns, and what are some of the main concerns voters may have about them?
Well, Boris Johnson's big commitment in the campaign, as he puts it, is to get Brexit done. So his main message is about electing him in order to see through the Brexit process. And he's been very clear on this. It's been a message that he has conveyed effectively during the election campaign. It's certainly the most prominent message of all the leaders from different political parties. But there are, of course, voters who have misgivings about Boris Johnson. Some of that is because they disagree with the decision to leave the EU. But there are also concerns about Boris Johnson as a leader, about his personality, a concern that perhaps he is sometimes a bit economical with the truth. He's a politician who is popular with some voters, but also very unpopular with others. He tends to inspire both support, but also strong dislike. So he is really pushing the Brexit message, but it's not clear it's going to work. Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour leader, is in some respects not dissimilar to Boris Johnson in the sense that he also has very strong support among some voters, particularly younger voters, voters who feel that they've done very badly out of austerity over the last decade. But he is also disliked by significant sections of the electorate. There is not certainly a uniform wave of support for Jeremy Corbyn. His main messages in the campaign as the Labour leader have been about reversing the cuts in public spending, investing in the National Health Service, also using public investment to strengthen the economy, particularly in areas of the country that have done badly out of economic growth over the last 10 years. So he's been pushing really a very traditional Labour message. But this is an election in which both of the main contenders for Prime Minister, Boris Johnson and Jeremy Corbyn, neither of them, you would have to say, are particularly popular with British voters.
So there have also been concerns about what the turnout will be like, given the weather conditions. It's been a few hours since the polls opened. What's it like so far?
Yeah, we won't get a good indication on turnout until probably later on, mid-afternoon. We'll know how the turnout compares to previous elections. Certainly, there's a concern that having an election in winter in December may depress the turnout. On the other hand, as you said at the beginning of the interview, this is an election which is seen as being very important, very significant. It's a generational, it's a generation-defining election. So in that sense, that may also encourage turnout. We don't yet know. The turnout fell to 60% in the general election of 2001, having been historically in the high 70s. I think it's likely that it will fall somewhere in the range between 60 to 70%, but it's certainly possible it could drop down to the lower level.
And having said that, do you think voters are heavily invested in this election, or is there a sense of disenfranchisement with how politics have been in the country?
Well, there is a lot of disillusionment. The Brexit process has created a sense of disaffection. Some voters feel that the Brexit process should have been completed a long time ago. They're not sure why we have to have another election. Of course, another section of the electorate is very unhappy about Brexit, doesn't agree with it, doesn't want it to happen. So there is disaffection, and there's also a sense that neither of the two main parties are putting forward either a programme or a leader to be Prime Minister who is particularly popular across the electorate. So I think going into the election this morning, there was a sense that many voters were probably supporting the leader that they disliked the least rather than the leader that they liked the most, that they were really voting for the person they thought was going to do less damage rather than a leader who they really passionately supported and felt that was going to get the country moving in the right direction. So in that sense, it has been a somewhat negative campaign, and that has no doubt a lot to do with the Brexit process.
I guess the description of it being a sort of unpopularity contest has been thrown around in this election.
Yeah, it's a good phrase, an unpopularity contest. I think that does fit very well with the situation. Voters don't feel terribly inspired by either of the main parties. It's also interesting that both of the main parties have prominent figures within those parties pulling on the electorate not to vote for the leader. So in the Labour Party, there are former Labour members of Parliament who are calling on voters not to support Jeremy Corbyn because they think he'll be a bad leader. On the other hand, there are also very prominent Conservatives, including the former Prime Minister John Major, who is calling on people not to vote for Boris Johnson and to vote tactically to prevent a Conservative victory. So there is a real sense that, you know, the parties are quite divided, and also both of the leaders, as I say, do inspire a lot of unpopularity in some quarters, which reinforces the sense of it being, as you say, an unpopularity contest.
So with that said, I guess it's no surprise then that there are commentators who stated that it's pretty difficult to kind of try to predict the outcome of these elections. Could you talk to us a little bit more about what are the factors at play here?
Well, it is difficult to predict because of the nature of the British electoral system, which means that you do get headline opinion poll predictions, obviously, but it's quite hard to read from those what will happen in individual constituencies. So it's not clear whether a certain lead in the opinion polls will produce a majority in the House of Commons for the party that forms the government. We do know from the opinion polls that the Conservatives have been consistently ahead. So it's almost certain, nothing is certain in politics, but it looks very likely that in this election, the Conservatives will finish ahead of Labour in their percentage of the vote. They've been ahead in almost all the opinion polls, normally by leads of between 6 to 12 points. The bigger question, though, the uncertainty is how will that translate into seats? Just because they finish 8 points ahead of Labour, does it mean that they'll necessarily have the votes in the right places to guarantee a majority in the House of Commons? And that is somewhat unclear. This is partly because Brexit has made the electoral map more complex. There will be voters voting tactically, voting to keep out Conservative or Labour candidates in certain seats. So it is likely to be an uncertain election. There'll be an exit poll at 10 o'clock tonight, but whether we know from the exit poll what the actual result of the election will be in terms of parliamentary majorities, the number of seats the parties win, I think it's very unlikely. So for those who want to really to know what is definitively going to happen in the election, I suspect they're going to have to stay up until very late into the night.
And how do you think the European Union will react to the different potential outcomes of the election?
Well, for the European Union, of course, this Brexit process has been interminable. It's been going on now for over 3 years. So there will be a mood, I think, among some EU leaders to have the process resolved. I think certainly, for example, Emmanuel Macron, who of course is the president of France, is known to want the process of Brexit to be completed as soon as possible. So they may be somewhat relieved by a Conservative majority because they would at least know that that was the chance then to get on and deliver Brexit as quickly as possible as Boris Johnson wants. If, however, the Conservatives don't get a majority, and if, of course, Labour was to finish as the largest party, then it's very likely we'd be back into second referendum territory. I think for leaders like Angela Merkel, who, of course, is very clear about not wanting Britain to leave the EU, they would, of course, quite possibly welcome this result because they would like the whole Brexit process to be complete, to be reopened so that voters can have a chance to decide whether they really want to leave the European Union. So, yeah, the EU will be watching very closely, but I think there's clearly no unified EU view. There are some in the EU who would like the Brexit nightmare, as they see it, to be dealt with as quickly as possible. There are others who would like Britain to be given another opportunity to think again about whether it really wants to leave Europe.
Patrick, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Patrick Diamond, Associate Professor of Public Policy at Queen Mary University of London. And I suppose we will just be looking forward to the outcome and covering it tomorrow, perhaps, because, you know, as it stands, I don't think there's anything more that is to be said about this unpopularity contest. You know, it is what it is. Dr. RK says, Boris versus Jeremy, a Hobson's choice staring UK voters in the face in a generation. Brexit will lead to the breakup of the UK.
It's just tragic that, you know, if this is one of the most consequential elections ever, that these are your only two options, that you don't have any more that you might lean towards.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really choose who the candidates are. They are who they are. But there is a chance that it might break up the UK. The Scottish National Party leader, Nicola Sturgeon, has called for a independence referendum a few times already. So if she does remain the leader, that might be a development that will happen.
Kamarun Nizam saying, unpopularity contest, we had them in our PRU14. Maybe in the internet era, this is going to be the theme. All over the world, voting for the one that you perceive to do less damage.
I'm afraid that, you know, just looking at it from a local perspective again, that perhaps in the next GE it will likely be the same thing. You are voting for the party that will do the least amount of damage.
I don't think this is true all over the world. I think that with the countries that dominate our headlines, so for example, locally, of course, we're thinking of ourselves, but abroad, we look at the UK, we look at the US, then sure, it feels a little bit hopeless, but there's also New Zealand. So, you know, it's not as if everybody, all the major countries are doing the same thing. It just feels that way because... I don't know. We're in a bit of a hole at the moment. Keep those thoughts coming. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.